I thank you, Lord, for just who he is, Father. I thank you for his character, Lord. I thank you for his gifting. I thank you, Father, that he truly is your boy. And Lord, would you bless him? Would you bless him, Father, as he speaks to us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes? Okay. Hey, good morning. The topic I'm going to talk on today is, should I say, quite tricky. It's tricky for me because I'm talking about the tongue and how to control it. One of the things I'm not very good at, it's a tiny little thing, isn't it? But it's really difficult to control. It really is. But before I start, I just want to say, you just have to bear with me through this because, as most of you know, I suffer with Parkinson's. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And the one thing it does for me has done is actually somehow brought my emotions right onto the edge. I suffer with emotions right on the edge. But I also believe in that I'm actually going through a transformation with Jesus as well. He's actually doing something in me that Parkinson's can't do, but Jesus can. So if I do cry, or you just bear with me, and you know. So I'll start by reading the Word of God, which is always a good place to start. And I'm going to read from James 3, 1 to 12. And it says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Blow. That first bit's a bit of, oh, I'll go and sit down, shall I? Instead, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude or image of our God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and water and fresh. This is quite a serious word, actually, for us, isn't it? It's quite a serious word. We don't take what the Word of God says lightly, but James is obviously saying something that was important to the church. And it's important for us as well that we take on board what he says there about us, and we actually have a thing that we need to try and get our tongues under what God says. But I want to start with a little story. It was from UCB. We've all said the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person and ended up regretting it. A pastor was being honoured at a retirement dinner. This isn't you, guy. And a local politician had been asked to make a speech. The politician was running late, so the pastor decided to say a few words. When I came here 25 years ago, I thought this was a terrible church. The first man I talked to said he'd stolen, lied, embezzled, had an affair, and done drugs. I was appalled. Then I realised, not everybody's like that. This church is filled with good people. Just then, the politician arrived and stood up to speak. I'll never forget the day the pastor arrived and I had the privilege of being the first church member to speak to him. Bit of warning for all of us there, isn't there? See, the power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. With the tongue we can praise our God, teach God's word. But with the tongue we can lie and ruin a reputation or break someone's heart. In order to impress on us the importance of controlled speech and the great consequences of our words, James gives us six pictures of the tongue. The bit, the rudder, fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, and a fig tree. What I'd like to do this morning is to put these six pictures into three meaningful classifications that reveal the three powers of the tongue. Number one, the power to direct. Can we have the first slide, please? We've read that bit, but they'll just leave that up there. It would seem, when we read the first bit, that there were people in the church who wanted to teach. And James has to warn them. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, James 3:1. This is because those who teach the word face the stricter judgment. Now, I'd be interested, actually, because you might think, oh, that excludes me because I don't actually teach at church. But the thing is, who of you actually has taught, say, at Sunday school in your life? Who of you actually have taught their children? Who of you have actually taught their grandchildren? Taught at school? Taught out somewhere? Now, I know it doesn't exactly say that, but I'd like to put a little bit of a slant on it. It was something that we did when we did the Bible study on James. Perhaps all of us have somewhere or another have been teachers. And therefore, we ought to be careful, very careful about what we say and what we do. You know, teachers use their tongues to share God's truth. And it's they teach God's word. But also, they sing with their tongue as well. Furthermore, teachers must practice what they teach. Otherwise, it's just hypocrisy, isn't it? We're just preaching hypocrisy. And we don't want that in the church. Control of the tongue is a sign of spiritual maturity. Is James making a mistake connecting sins of the tongue with sins of the whole body? No, because what do our words usually lead to? They lead to deeds. You know, during World War II, there were lots of posters that said, "Loose lips sink ships." Making an unguarded statement may find ourselves involved in a conflict. Conflict in ourselves and a conflict with other people, our other brothers and sisters in the body. A small bit enables the rider to control a horse, and a small rudder enables the pilot to steer an entire ship. The tongue is a small member of the body, yet it has the ability to do great things. Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces, the wind, the sea, the tide. The human tongue must also overcome contrary forces. This means that both the bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. When Jesus Christ controls your tongue, then we need not fear that we will say the wrong thing or even saying the right thing in the wrong way. So the first thing I'd like to say, let Jesus be the controller of your tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, warns Solomon, Proverbs 18:21. No wonder David prayed, and David was a man after God's own heart. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. The bit and rudder have the power to direct, which means they affect the lives of others. A runaway horse or a shipwreck can mean injury or death to pedestrians or passengers. The words we speak affect the lives of others. A judge says guilty or not guilty, and those words affect the destiny of the prisoner, the family, the people around them. So a wrong word can affect amazing things. Do you ever think that if we speak the wrong words into the atmosphere, that that actually affects what goes on in the atmosphere and therefore it affects what goes on in our lives, the lives of anybody? You know, you drop a stone in the water, it ripples out, doesn't it? It ripples out. So if we say the wrong word, it ripples out into the world. If we were perhaps to actually, you know, get our tongues under control and we spoke good, positive things, maybe we'd impact the atmosphere and then things would seem to be better for us all, actually. Number two. Oh, I've got slides on. Worked. Number two, the power to destroy the fire and the animal. James 3, 5 to 8. On the night of September the 2nd, 1666, a small fire broke out in the premises of a baker's shop in Pudding Lane, London. Perhaps started by the carelessness of a maid or somebody, in the close-packed streets of London, where buildings jostled each other for space, the blaze soon became an inferno. Fanned by an east wind, the fire spread with terrifying speed, feeding on the tar and pitch commonly used to seal houses. Probably our best account of the fire comes from the diaries of Samuel Pepys, Secretary of the Admiralty. He watched the course of the destruction from a safe position across the Thames and called it a most malicious flame, as one entire arch of fire of about a mile long. It made me weep to see it, the churches, houses, all on fire and flaming at once, and a horrid noise the flame made, and the crackling of houses at their ruin. Over the Thames, with one face in the wind, you were almost burned with a shower of fire drops. After 4 days, while helpless citizens stood by and watched the destruction of their homes, the wind mercifully died and the fire was stopped. When a dazed populace took stock of the damage, 80% of the city was destroyed, including 13,000 houses, 89 churches, and 52 company guild halls. The spiritual hub of the city, Old St. Paul's Cathedral, was nothing but rubble. It was a disaster of unprecedented proportions. Our words can start a fire just as terrifying. And it says in Proverbs 26, 20 to 21, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood is to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. A hot head and a hot heart can lead to burning words that later we will regret. As I said, they go out into the atmosphere. We impact the person, their family, the atmosphere, many people we can impact. The only thing that can wash away this is defilement is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. James 3:6 says the tongue can set the whole course of his life on fire. I'm sorry, but this is quite serious, and I'm talking obviously to myself when I wrote this. I was talking to me. It's so really spoke to me. James suggests that all of life is connected, as I said. Out there, we're all connected in one way or another. not only is the tongue like a fire, but it's also like a dangerous animal. Sorry. How many times has some malicious person injected a bit of poison into your conversation and you didn't notice it initially? Or how many times have I injected a bit of poison into somebody's and not noticed what I've been doing? Like the apostle at Pentecost, apostles at Pentecost, it can be set on fire from heaven, our tongue. If God lights the fire and controls it, then the tongue can be a mighty tool for the winning of the lost and the building up of the church. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to build the church. Number three, the power to delight, the spring and the tree. In hot countries like Palestine, the natural spring provides beautiful, cool, refreshing water people need to stay alive. Water is life-giving, and our words can give life too. Proverbs 18 verse 4 said, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, and the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." The tongue is also delightful because it is like a tree. In Bible lands, olive trees are vitally important to the economy. They help to hold down the soil, they provide beauty and shade, and they bear fruit. Our words can help to shelter and encourage, and can help to feed a hungry soul. The lips of the righteous feed many, Proverbs 10:21, and Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6:63. So one, we've had power to direct. Two, we have power to destroy. But three, we have power to delight. I don't think any of us would deny that we have problems with our tongue. If you do, you can come and see me afterwards and I'll get the anointing from you. Some of us struggle more than others. But each of us needs to find a way to tame that beast. Let me give you some practical steps to consider in this process. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James 1 verse 19. Abraham Lincoln said, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Number two, bite your tongue more often. It might bleed a bit, but never mind. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James 1:26. Refuse to tear other people down. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. James 4:11 and 5:9. Speak only what is true. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. James 5 verse 12. And surrender your tongue to God. But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. James 3 verse 8. We cannot tame our tongue without supernatural help. To help us surrender our tongues to God, let us encourage you with a little speech therapy. Before Before we speak something that may be harmful, perhaps we should ask ourselves these questions. Is what we're going to say true? If no, stop. If not, let's take the second one. Is it necessary? Jesus said we're going to be judged for every careless word. There are so many things that we say that are not necessary. Is it beneficial? Is what I'm going to say build someone up or tear them down? Fourthly, which is a good one actually, do I have permission to share it? Oh, I'm just going to share it with you so we can pray about it. Classic, isn't it? That's a classic one. I think we probably, lots of people, including me, have done that, I suspect. And is my motive pure? Why am I saying this? You know, we all struggle with our tongues to varying degrees. There's something we can do about gossip. Remember, gossip when I share with someone about a third person, and neither you or I are part of the problem or the solution. And the good thing to remember is, if you want to do that, if you gossip with someone and they gossip with you, bet your life they'll gossip about you the next time round. So you should be careful. Will we listen more, bite our tongues more, refuse to tear others down and surrender our tongues to Jesus Christ? This is not an extra thing that God's requesting of us. It's fundamental to surrender our tongue to Jesus Christ. Yes, the tongue may be the smallest, but it is a very big troublemaker. And in all the world, but it has the power to direct, the power to destroy, but also the power to delight. God can use our tongue to guide others into the way of life and to sustain them in the trials of life. Give God your tongue each day and ask him to use us to be a blessing to others. Amen.
Okay. What a great reminder, eh?